MoneyWeb at midday for all your up-to-date stories.
South Africa has suffered a dramatic setback in planned investment, with the value of new projects announced in the first half of this year falling 81% to an annualized 137.7 billion rand. Now, to give you some context, that's around 580 billion rand below last year and the weakest level since 2017, if I've read the numbers correctly. Obviously, this raises uncomfortable questions about business confidence, about future growth, jobs, and ultimately government revenue. Let's put all of that into some perspective. I'm in conversation now with Isaiah Mhlanga, who is chief economist at RMB. Isaiah, a very warm welcome to you. Is this an investment collapse, or are we in danger of making too much of one particularly weak six-month period?
Look, it is a concerning development. When we started the year, we were expecting quite a robust investment growth. And then we had the shock from the Middle East conflict, that compounded, the tariff wars that Donald Trump and his administration started. So it's a conflation of many factors, partly global. That means the supply chains we've been talking about, triggered by the trade tariffs, are actually having an impact. If you are not so sure how your products are going to get into the US or, into another market, you are not going to expand production capacity until you are quite sure. So that had an impact. And from a domestic perspective, the shock from fuel price is quite real. It's a tax on consumption, which means companies that are facing the consumer are also going to be quite hesitant to expand production over the short term. But over the medium to longer term, there are also concerns about economic policy. It's an uncertain political cycle that we are going into, and the Operation Vulindlela is still ongoing. Some successes on phase one, phase two experiences some difficulties as per National Treasury. There's update that 80% of what was announced in phase two is either derailed or running behind schedule. And then we can talk about beyond 2027, what happens into 2029. There is changes in political leadership in the largest party so far, which means it's uncertain what comes after that. Does it keep the GNU and the Operation Vulindlela policies intact? If you don't know all of those questions, it means you are likely to withhold investing in production capacity until we have a little bit more clarity.
And that clarity is going to be hard to find. And what it is suggesting is that government itself is failing to invest at the scale that it keeps promising. Isaiah, the president keeps talking about an unprecedented infrastructure drive, but it's patently obvious those ambitions are not yet showing up more strongly in this vitally urgent project pipeline.
No, they are not showing up strongly as expected. In the project pipeline that you're talking about, that's where the problem lies. The investment drive is underpinned by investment by the private sector and not necessarily by the public sector. Yes, the public sector has a role to play, but the majority of it has to be privately funded. That's where the issue of confidence lies. And I guess that's where we need to hear a lot more from government in terms of the stability of the policy proposals. Perhaps they're not communicating as much to say, even in the event that there are different outcomes politically, from a government policy perspective, the reforms that are taking place now, they are crystallized in how we look at investment going forward, so that it can ease the uncertainty from an investor perspective to look through the political cycle that we have now.
And what do you think prevents government from making that kind of commitment?
Potentially, it's because there are still differences on policy positions. And we see this, starkly in what's happening in the energy space in Eskom and the presidency. There seem to be different views as far as, what structure the different, entities that are going to come out of Eskom is going to look like. And that introduces uncertainty to funding partners to say, if we are not so sure, if we're seeing disagreements between a government-owned entity and, the president or government, then it means we are far worse in terms of understanding what's going on. So we stay on the sidelines.
Talking about staying on the sidelines, private sector projects then account for just over 107 billion rand of that total that I mentioned. The reality, I think I'm hearing you say, is that companies will continue sitting on that cash because they don't believe growth is going to materialize. What are they going to do with that money?
Look, if you think about long-term investors, now they can invest offshore up to 45%. That is your pension fund industries that have a lot of capital, which means they're going to look offshore. And if they are in the domestic market, you know, you have to assess the risks. And if the risks seems too high, given what we've been talking about now from a policy perspective, you can just put money in a government bond. That's like the least risk investment that you're almost guaranteed to get your money back. And that we see in the market where the allocation to bonds have been quite strong over the last couple of years. It hasn't changed as much, which means public sector has been crowding out private sector investment, sucking all the capital into funding government. And yet the actual output that we get from, you know, government spending, the quality has been quite poor. There is a change. We have to recognize that. Rating agencies have also recognized that. A lot have been done so far. If you look at, you know, the balance sheet of SA Inc. have repaired, which is what rating agencies have responded by upgrading and changing ratings to positive outlooks. But we are not yet seeing that translate into better confidence. That's what we need to see going forward.
And if we're not seeing that confidence, this weak investment is already starting, I imagine, to feed into weaker tax revenue. And that obviously puts greater pressure on government finances and it becomes a vicious circle.
Indeed, if growth remains weak with a growing population growing at a 1.5% per year, growth at less than 1%, it means in per capita terms we are going backwards. The biggest detractor have to do with local government dynamics. That's where every person lives. That's where every business operates. It operates in a municipality somewhere, which means if we are not solving the permitting, the licensing, the water, bulk water infrastructure, the electricity distribution, all of those things, the impact on business confidence and investment. Unfortunately, they are not, the businesses that operate at a locality, they don't get, you know, the positive impact that are coming out of the big reforms that are at a national level. These are small micro enterprises, medium enterprises that do not necessarily benefit from the large infrastructure development pipeline, which means they are facing the dysfunction of municipalities and not feeling the positive impact of the reform momentum.
Isaiah Mplanga is the chief economist at Rand Merchant Bank.